Today's daf is daf Samech Aleph. So we got to the very last line of Samech Amid Beis. The Gemara quotes from the Mishnah, the two dots, Mitzudos Chayev Ofos Vidogim Yesh Pem Bechule. There's Machlokis Tanakama versus Rabbi Yossi. If let's say I set up a trap and an animal is caught in it and someone else takes it from my trap, is that person violating Darchei Shalom only? And it's bad, but not that bad? Or is it really Gezel according to Rabbi Yossi? So that was the Machlokis. So the Gemara explained the last two words in the daf here. What does that mean? Rashi says before he turned the page, some type of string trap, a net of some sort that has a cleat, there's an inside to it. And ohare is shall get me a different type of material. But it had a little pouch for the animal to go inside. There was a toch to it. So those types of traps, says the Gemara on the top of Samech Aleph, chuli alma lo pligi, no one argues, everyone's in agreement, says Rashi, techeven de yeshlam toch, karna lo kela v'havi gezo gamar. Since it has a toch, since it has it inside, it qualifies as a kli. It's my kli, and that animal entered into my kli, so you're taking from my kli. That would be a violation of gzela gamar, according to all opinions, gzela midiraisa. So what's machlokis? Rabbi Yossi Tanakama, says the Gemara, ki pligi bilechi v'kukari. So Rashi tells us lechi is chacha. I don't know what this means. Anything in English there? Some type of string that doesn't have a toch to it. Yeah, I don't know what type of trap that has, how effective that will be. How you have a string. I don't know. You have like a long string, and then the animal runs and gets its neck cut in the. Okay, so it came in and got hit by something and dropped to the ground. Okay, it didn't go inside the trap, but it somehow got caught. So that is the machlokas. According to Tanakama, there's no, I don't know about this, but according to the Tanakama, there's no kinyan because it just fell to the ground. I guess it's like if I shot the animal, let's say. Am I koneh the animal if I shoot the animal, it's dead or it's injured? It's not in my kli, it's out in the woods somewhere. So according to Tanakama,
it's like a string that the animals bite and they get caught. Uh-huh. It's a fish.
It's a fish, like a hook.
Like a hook or something. Uh-huh. So it's just caught, but it's not
inside my clay.
It's not inside anything. It's just caught towards something okay. That doesn't have any.
That's pretty interesting. So if you're like fishing and you catch it, so Mikra Din, even though it's caught on my hook, that's not really mine. But says that
you might consider, since you're holding it, it's still yours.
Okay.
The case where they just,
you let it hang. You let it, you know, they do by the the Harlem River Drive.
Right.
They just like put the
right.
Fishing poles. Okay.
Like
so it's not inside the kli. So there, Tanakhama says it's not such, it's not really mine. But b'nei darchei shalom, a person should not take someone else's fishing pole. And then according to the Rabbi Yossi,
I'm sorry, I think fishing pole might also be a kli.
But there's no toch, though.
There's no toch, no.
So,
now here, this says it's just pure string, let's say.
Uh-huh. So I don't know how it works, how to catch an animal like that.
From one side to the other.
Has a fish get caught?
No, because it has hooks hanging.
Uh-huh. So that's like a fishing pole then?
Yeah, it is.
Right.
I think, the other question, I don't know if a fishing pole you consider yours because it's a cleat.
Uh-huh. If you're holding on to it.
No, the truth is, if he takes the fish out of the fishing pole and it's not in your hand, maybe it's okay. I don't know. It doesn't have a base cue. All right.
Okay, and then Rabbi Yossi says again, this is, he thinks it's Geza Midivrehem. Okay. So the Gemara then says, quotes from the Mishnah, Mitzias Cheirishot Vechule, Rabbi Yossi Omer Gezo Gamor, same machlokas when it comes to a Cheirishot Vekatam, who finds a Mitzia, so when you take, if you were to take from them, would that be only Darche Shalom, or would that be Gezo Gamor? So the Gemara says, Omer Ravchista Gezo Gamor Midivrehem. It's not really Gezo Midiraisa, because a Katam doesn't have Kinanam on Diraisa level, it's only a Gezo on a Dirabana level. So the Ma'ayin Nachmina, who cares whether you can't take it because of Gezo Midivrehem, whether it's because of Mipnei Darche Shalom, who cares the Tam? It's the same din. There's no, it's a deraisa taking place here. And the Gemara explains, an afkamin is lo tzio bidayanim. Are you able to force it? Are you able to, let's say, a guy takes it from the katan, can you now take that, can the katan take the ganav to Bezdin? So according to Biyoshi, who thinks it's a gezem midivrehem, you're allowed to take him to Bezdin. But according to Chacham, it's only Mipnei Darche Shalom, you're not allowed to take him to Bezdin. Gemara now says, Ani ha-manakeh v'rosh ha-zayis ma'a shetachta v'chule. So an Ani climbed up to this big olive tree and starts shaking the olive tree and all the olives fall down. And this guy walks by and takes the olives. So are you allowed to take those olives? And we said, you're not allowed to. So the Gemara explains, Tana im liktan v'nosam b'yad ha-reze gezo gamar. If the Ani actually picks it up and it's in his hand, then that would be considered gezo gamar. Seems to be an obvious point. It's his. So I'm not sure what's being added here. But that's what the Gemara says.
Talking about the guy who picked.
The guy who picked
them, he climbs down and puts them on the ground, and then he goes back up and gets more. That's considered his.
As opposed to just shaking them. So if he picks them up and places them down, you can't assume placing down is now the same thing as before. That's his. He just placed it on the side. He had ownership for a moment. That is enough.
Tom Tosos speaks about it.
Gemara says, Tosas writes on top, let's see, Likit Venosim Biyad Hareze Gezo Gamor. Nira de Itzrech Lashminan Bitalshan Biyado, Umapila, this is what Harry said. Afa Pishlo Nisakvu Biyado Vlo Achaz Ben Elilha Pilam. Even though he didn't hold on to it, he only grabbed it in order to place it down. So maybe you're going to think that wouldn't be considered a Kinyan just yet. Kamashman, that qualifies as a Kinyan. Okay, the Gemara now says, a story that Rav Kahana have a Kazil Lahutzel. He was once walking to Hutzel, and Chazil Ahu Gavra to have a Shadi Upe Vika Narsan Tamari. He was throwing things at a date tree, and the dates were falling down. So what did he do? Azo Kaman Kivach. He picked one of the dates up and ate them. So Amar Lei Chazi Mar Dibyade Shadisano. Didn't you see that I took them from my hand and they're collecting for myself? You can just go ahead and take my food. These are my dates. So Rav Kahana says, Amar Lei Me'aser Debyoshia Atakari Lei V'tzadik Yisraelom. Since you're such a learned individual, you know this halacha, must be that you came from the town of Rav Yoshia. And Rashi explains why, because Lefikach Atabaki Bedinim Lefi Shehu Dorish L'Rabim U'Modian. Rav Yoshia was well known apparently for giving drushes L'Rabim and teaching people the halacha. So this guy must have been from that town, he knew the halacha. And the question becomes, so what gave Rav Kahana the right in the first place to steal this guy's food? He knew the halacha also. So Tosas addresses the question. He says, "Shadei ofe midikla peish mekunches ofe makelos." He was throwing stones, sticks, and rocks at the dates. So kasha the Rav Kahana heicha havaman kei v'achil umidlo hava chayish ledarche shalom. Was he not concerned with darche shalom? Just like this guy, the ani knew about it. Certainly, Rav Kahana knew about this halacha. So what was the reason he took it in the first place? So the Nira Kirabinu Chananel says those was the Shapirish Ofai Chareos Shal Dekel Havashade Min Hadekel the Nisrei Tamri. Rav Kahana, he was shaking out the dates, the palms and the dates as well, them together, the leaves and also the dates. And the leaves of these palm trees are very, very useful for many things. They build things out of them, fences, mats, and whatnot. So Rav Kahana hayasavar shelo hayachoshesh min haperos ela min hacharios. He only really wanted was all the leaves. He didn't really care for the fruits. No, I was also taking down the dates for me to eat. Those weren't right for you to take either. So that was the confusion. Obviously, Rav Kahana knew the halacha. Someone asked me this morning who had learned the daf. He said, what's pshat here? How is it possible? So Rav Kahana, at the end of the day, he took something that wasn't his. He ate gezel. So don't we have the Gemara that says, in behemtim shatadikim, lo, I forgot exactly the line, but lo nisku behemtim shatadikim. We won't allow a behem of a tzaddik to stumble. So certainly not the tzaddik himself. So how could the Gemara allow Rav Kahana to eat something that's usur? So I seem to recall, I couldn't find it quick enough, the Gemara in Chulin which talks about it. I think the first paragraph is a Tosfos, who asks these types of questions, and there's a chilik between different types of Isurim. Earlier in Gittinosa maybe, right? Maybe it's Gittinosa confused with me, that's why I couldn't find it. So even Bechad between different Isurim, whether maybe it's an Isur Chepsa versus an Isur Gavra, is that possible?
Well, he makes a chilik about eating something at just at the wrong time versus eating something that's inherently Aser.
Right, that's the idea. So that's Isur Chepsa versus Isur Gavra. Isur Vizman is an Isur Gavra. It's momentary. So that was the answer I thought. This Gezel would only be a Gezel Midirbanan, perhaps. It wasn't inherently Aser. Or even in general, Gzela might not be Gzela is very different than Bas B'chalav, let's say, where Bas B'chalav is inherently Usr, Gezel is a gaver for me to take some other food that's inherently Mutter.
Here it says, independent of what you said, here it says, according to Raman and Rashi and the Ritva, the expander of Kahana thought that he was an Ovid Kochavin, and the Takana doesn't go on Ovid Kochavin. That was a mistake.
They said it, right. Said, just a different explanation of Tosos' question.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. Fine. The Gemara now says, quotes in the two dots, quotes in the Mishnah, Eim Nemachin Biad Ani Nechrim Beleket B'Shicha B'Peah Mibnei Darche Shalom. A person, if the Leket and Shicha and Peah are all left out in the Jewish farmer's field, and a Goy comes to take it, we let him take it, we don't scream at him, we don't yell at him. So, very, very important for Midos. These Mishnahs and Gittin talks about very important Midos that people oftentimes do lack. So, Bnei Darche Shalom is very, very important. It doesn't mean to be friends with the Goyim and to be best friends, but it means to be nice to them. So, the Gemara quotes a Braisa, Tanei Rabbanan, Mefarnesim Ani Nachrim Im Ani Yisrael. You're also able to support, give tzedakah to Goyim just as well as you give to Jews as well. Now, there's a certain kedima. You have to give the Jews before non-Jews and your city before the other people's city. But if it's going to create a lot of Eva and they're giving out funds, so you'll have to give to Jews as well. So let's say, for example, Hurricane Sandy, they raised a lot of money for people who lost money and didn't have good insurance. So and let's say some Goyim came ahead and wanted to take some of that money. Would you be allowed to? So it sounds like one should actually give them the money because Darchei Shalom, that they're only helping their own community, not helping other people who live in the same community, not right? Sounds like Pasha says one would have to help support the Nachrim as well. Let's say you're in the hospital and you see non-Jewish people who are sick as well. It's okay. One's allowed to. One perhaps should visit them and give them good words and give them and cheer them up. There's a mitzvah bikur cholam as well. Mipnei darchei shalom. The kovrin meisei nachrim. This is one that's going to scare you guys. Kovrin meisei nachrim im meisei yisrael mipnei darchei shalom. You could bury the goyim, the Jews, and the Jews among the goyim. We all get very, very scared about that. So very, very machmir not to have Jews buried in a non-Jewish cemetery, and it's a big inyan. So if you look at Rashi, Rashi explains pshat here. It doesn't mean you bury them in the same cemetery. Lo b'kivre Yisrael, el mis'askim behem im matun harugim im Yisrael. Meaning if you're...
War.
Exactly, war. You don't leave the goyim there. You take care of them as well. But in a chanami, they're in separate cemeteries, though.
It says according to... So from Rashi, it seems that only you only bury them if you find them together with the Jew. But if you just see an all going,
like a meis mitzvah,
yeah, you don't have to.
You don't have to.
Only when they're together. So people shouldn't see. This one he does, and this one doesn't.
The guy passed by. He doesn't care about dead people in general.
That's why the Darkei Shalom. If you other people are going to see you, and you're going to walk past the goyim and say, "Huh," that's
right. It says, "Omnam yesh amrim she kovrim obdei kochavim afilu bifnei atzman."
Okay, the new Mishnah says now, Mashelas Isha Lechaverta Hachashuda Ahashvius. A woman could lend to her neighbor who's choshed on Shvius. She's choshed. Rashi explains what's the chashad here. Rashi says, Al Shvius, Lishmor Peros Shvius Ulatsniam Min Habir Veilach. The way it works is that each fruit has its own time during the year when it's a Shazbir. What Shazbir mean? That when it's no longer available in the orchards, in the fields, so let's say it happened recently, I had this shaila, I'm not sure I mentioned it to you, that someone bought grapefruit from Costco, mentioned in Mincha Marav, I think you were there the other day. So Mincha Marav, he bought grapefruit from Costco. So grapefruit still exists, it's still as shvius from last year. It's still out, you're going to find grapefruits out in the orchards. So as long as it's out there, it has a din of shvius, and you're allowed to eat it. But let's say come Sivan or Av, depending which list you use, it's no longer available in the trees. So any grapefruits that you have remaining in your house, you have to burn. Shas Bir, it's called. If it's not available to the Chaya and the Sada, then it can't be available to the Behema or the person in the house. You have to burn it. That's Shas Bir. So this woman was concerned. She was chashad that she would be eating, and even after the Shas Bir, she'd still be eating her grapefruits. Now, each fruit depends on their species. Apples could be is a different season when grapefruits and oranges. It all depends on that type of fruit. So she was choshed for eating after Shas Bir. So the woman is allowed to lend to her, the Mishnah says, Nafe v'kibra v'yichayim, a sifter. What's the difference between a Nafe and a kivra? A sifter and a...
Sifter and a sieve.
A sieve, okay. Two different types of things that sift things. And a rechaim is a mill, a grinder, the tanner, an oven. She's allowed to lend these things to her neighbor. But she cannot do the maisa separating. She can't separate with her and she can't grind with her. She could give her the utensils, the kalim, but she can't be osik with her because then she's going to be osik with a shvius perhaps. Gemara says, Eishes Chaver, Mishaalas Leishes Amhar. It's an Eishes Chaver, wife of a Chaver, who is, keeps all the halachas of Chumas and Maisus, separates everything. So she's allowed. What? Tumah Vatara?
Yeah.
Okay. So Tumah Vatara, those different inyanim. I'm looking a second, Rashi. I think maybe both of them, actually.
Yeah,
let's see. All them. Chumah Meiser, Tumah Vatara, keeps all the halachas. So she's allowed to lend to her friend, who's the wife of an Amharit, who does not necessarily keep these halachas, enough of a kiva ubareres, v'tochenes merakadis ima. Not only could she lend the sifter and the sieve, but she could also do the separating with her and grind with her. Aval mishetatil esamayim lo siga ima lifishein machzikin yidea ovre avera. By the moment water cut the dough comes into contact with the water, then she's no longer allowed to help with the process because she's helping the ovri avera. What's the problem? Once food comes into contact with water or any of the other shiva mashkim, now it's muhuchshe l'tuma. If someone tamei touches it, now the food becomes tamei. So her friend, who's possibly tamei, is going to touch the dough, and I'm helping the osek with the tuma, even though I myself am not tamei. That's considered helping the ovri avera, and that machzik ovri avera, and that's aser. So at that point, it comes into contact with water, then it's you can no longer help her out.
It's more a matter, it's matter that it becomes chala.
It becomes chala. It's also ligrom tumma l'chala.
Right.
If it's just regular food, it's not a problem.
Very interesting, right.
Then the Gemara, the Mishnah said, lo amru el b'nei dar chashalom. All these things, what are all these things? The heter to lend to them in the first place, b'nei dar chashalom. Meaning, really, you shouldn't help them at all. You shouldn't give them any kalim because it's, in essence, it's being machshel them. Exactly. So the only heter to lend them is dar chashalom.
But
it's a suffix. I assume we're talking about a suffix here. Let's see. Are we talking about Vada people or Suffolk people? Chashad is only a Suffolk.
Well, for sure it's a Suffolk.
Saying it's a Chashad.
I mean, they have a Chashad that they need. You don't know for sure that food she had was from Shvi's or that she's going to make it Dame or they had.
So why is there concern? He's saying if it's only a Suffolk, so what's the problem of...
Yisrael says in Shnayas and Shvi's, Yisrael says that if you lend something that can be used either for a heter reason or for an iser reason, then it's mutter because you don't know why the person's going to use it. Bishame says you can't even do that because you're going to be able to...
They might use it.
Right, like certain kalim that, let's say, people would typically use for harisha.
Like,
You could use you could lend them a sickle, but you can't lend them
a plow.
It says,
I called the
mission
here.
She has perot shel heter, meaning she also has... exactly what you said, bahem leheter.
He quotes this mission Shvius. You saw the Tosas? Look at you. The Tosas, the long Tosas Mishalas. He deals with this issue. Very good. So the last line that Tosas writes.
I just learned it this week, literally.
Look at the last two lines.
What I learned yesterday.
he learns all Mishnahs every week.
Okay,
look at the last two lines of Tosas, that Tosas there. He writes to Yesh Lomar. The Kesavar Hashas, the Achmir Rabbanan B'tuas HaChashudim, Ki'ilu Hu Bevadai Tevel Dok Mi'chazaka. There's a special Chumar Midir Rabbanan that you're right, and even though Andy said it was really only Safek, we're considering it to be Vadai, and therefore even Meis Hillel will be concerned of lending it out to them.
Interesting.
Interesting dinner. But he asked you to go through to get through all these problems that you guys just raised. Safek Daraisa L'chumra. Well, you're lending... You're saying lo titein mikshel that's the what's the suffix deraisa from my part as lending it that deraisa on me
part of the I could also be over there.
According to those who say that
I'm maseya devar vera and giving them
the maseya is not necessarily deraisa, that's a discussion in the Gemara. It's a nazir and makos. Okay.
It says that. Some people say that you're not allowed to like you just read them because meaning that he has no ana. If he would have ana, they would let him go into safek. But here he's lending her something.
And therefore what?
And therefore even on a safek, even if she would have payers that are kosher, you weren't allowed to.
But what's wrong with that? If I get no ana, what's wrong with me lending to her? She may not do anything wrong. It's a possibility only.
Right, but they hold a nut.
But what was hana relevant?
The heter is only for you to have hana.
But what's the reason?
The guy lending it?
The shoel. The mashel, mashel.
Yeah. I don't know why, but...
Okay.
I'm downstairs.
Fine. Mishnah says, Umachzikin yedei nachrim b'shvius. You're allowed to help support the goyim during the Shemitah year. Rashi says, Machzikin yedei nachrim Hacha mashma misayin mamish, you can mamish help them out. Have alo yidei Yisrael, but you can't help a Jew, because a Jew is not allowed to work during Shemitah year. So that would be awesome for you to help him. Vishralin bishlomam bibnei darchashalom. And you're also allowed to, not only allowed to, but perhaps should, say good morning, say hello to the goyim as well. And Rashi explains what's the concern here. Vishralin bishlomam kol hayamim, every day, say hello to them. Viapa pishimatil al hanachim, shem shemaim, even though you're saying shem Hashem, which is not shaykh for us anymore, but. Shalom, Shemo, Shalakadosh Baruch Hu. It's permitted. So, Kavachomer, us, we don't say that. We wouldn't say Shalom necessarily to a guy. You'd say good morning, good evening, good afternoon, good night. That would certainly be permitted and perhaps encouraged. Again, we're not encouraging being a best friend with them, but we're encouraging being nice and friendly to them.
But we're New Yorkers.
So you're saying we don't say friendly even to the Jews, let alone the guy.
We hope he's taking Shabbos.
Right, okay. We can Shabbos, but during the week, forget about it. Gemara says, Maishna Reisha, Maishna Seifa. What's the difference between the Reisha and the Seifa? What was the difference that they saw? That the Reisha says that she cannot help out with the chashad on shvius, then the friend can't help out at all, just lend the kelim. When it came to the challah concern, she's allowed to do the first stages of grinding and separating, but once it comes into contact with the water, she can't. So why the different limitations? So Amar Abaye, Abaye says, Rov am ha'aretz ma'asinhein, most likely, when it comes to the case of challah and all those different halachas, it was going to be separate already, and therefore you'll have to help them out. When it comes to Shemitah, there's a chazaka that most likely they are being osik in shvius, and you're going to be helping out with mamish perish shvius that are also at that point. That's a difference. Again, they're more chashid on shvius than they were on meiser. Rav Amar, Hacha Bam Haaretz di Rabbi Meir, V'tumah V'tara di Rabbanan. We're talking about the opinion of Rabbi Meir, who thinks we're only talking about Tumah di Rabbanan here. Why? Because the Tanya, why does he say it's only di Rabbanan? Ezu Am Haaretz, Kol She'eno Ochel Choliav V'tara Divrei Rabbi Meir. And Am Haaretz is someone who doesn't eat the chulin food bitara. He eats his tummy. He's makbi when he eats shuma and mice and everything else in challah. He eats it when he's tahor. When he eats his regular steak during the week, his regular food during the week, he's not makbi to be tara. He'll eat it even though he's tummy. That's according to Rabbi Meir. And just to finish the prices here, the chachamim omrim kol sheinu maiser peirosav. Anybody who doesn't take maiser, that's the amharitz. But a guy who takes maiser, he's considered a regular guy, a chaver, even though he might eat his chulin bitumah. So how does this fit in? So according to Rabbi Meir, who's talking about din tumah midrabanan. So that's why we're more makel. When it comes to the issues of shvius, that's an issur deraisa. So you say you can't help your neighbor out at all. When it comes to the second case of dealing with the chulin here, the tumah v'tara case, since it's only a tumah midrabanan, it's talking about chulin here, therefore she is allowed to help out doing the separating and the grinding. Gemara says, wait a second, Vaha, Migdakani Seifa, doesn't the fact that the Seifa says, Misha Tatil Samayim, Lo Sigaima, Michal de Reisha Labetum of Tara? Wait a second. Isn't that the very case we're saying? That's not the Seifa. I thought that was the case we said was Tumma Madirabanam.
I guess we thought that the first half of the second case was the only issue was about Tevil.
Uh-huh.
It wasn't about Tumah Tahara. And then we thought it transitioned to Tumah Tahara. We said the Mayim comes into play.
Okay, so let's see. So again, the question is, how Mitikatani Sefer, from the fact that Sefer says, Mishatatya Samayim lo sigama, Michal de Reisha labet Tumah V'tara askin. Ah, only once the water hits is there a concern of Tumah. Before that, there's no concern of Tumah V'tara. Right. We said that was a concern of Tumah V'tara beforehand. So Gemara says, no, Reisha V'sefer but Tumah V'tara. They're both concerned with Tumah V'tara. Reisha B'Tumah Chulin and Seifa B'Tumah Schala. Okay, so when it comes to Chulin, you're allowed to be Osek everything and all the different stages. The Seifa, we say, no, Chulin's only the Rabbanan. The comes to Chuma.
Is it Chulin with Rabbanan or Chulin is just like for Chaverin? Is it really an Isur? Chulin to be Metamah Chulin? Or is it Chaverin took upon themselves?
A special Chumrah that they took upon themselves.
Right. So
but Rabbi Meir had very high standards. He thought everyone should take it. If you don't take that Chumrah, you're considered an Amharetz. Okay. Right. So Gemara says. Says the Gemara. Where are we? Okay. So Gemara Uminu, last word of the page here. Uminu. Gemara asks, Tochanin umafkidin etel ochle shvis v'etel ochle perasein betuma. You're allowed to grind on your own and then have your neighbor who eats shvis. We're talking about shvis. That's usher who eats per shvis after the shas beer. You could have them watch it, and you could have them watch and. Those who eat Paris Batuma, you could also have them watch it and trust them that they're not going to ruin everything. They're not going to switch it. They could trust them to watch it as Shomrim. What you're not allowed to do is, though, you can't be tochen with them and be osik with them for those who eat Shvias and those who eat Batuma. You could have them watch it, but you can't be osik with them. So, therefore, what's the question here? What's the Shaila?
You're not chayshish right now.
It's a question on Rava.
Because it's letting you, it's letting them allow
to watch,
to help them on ochle chulin betum.
And before Rava says you can't do that at all.
With Rav, exactly.
Uh huh. Right, Rava thought you're allowed to osek with them on tumah
but not with the
right. And here we say even tumma is not allowed. So Amar Rabbi, Abai said, "Hasam b'koin hachashid lechel tumma b'tumma askinan davle tumma deraisa." Now the previous case is really a tumma mideraisa.
And chulin was only.
This case right here. This case here is talking about chuma, which is tame midiraisa. That's why it doesn't permit it. The case in the Mishnah was talking about chulin, which is only tuma midirabanim. Ihachi, that's the case. Mafkinan, are you really allowed to mafkit? If you're choshe, that is kohen, and each chuma bituma, are you really allowed to have him watch it? Or minu, mafkidin chuma etzel yisrael am haaretz, velo etzel kohen am haaretz, mipnei shalibo gaspo. You cannot have him watch it over because Libo Gaspa, Rashi says, Rogiba, he's so used to eating it, he's going to go ahead and eat it. You can't trust him to watch it. So we can't be talking about a Kohen who eats Chuma Bituma. So Gemara says, no, Amar Rabbi Eli, when are you allowed to give it to the Kohen? Normally you can't give it to the Kohen to watch. This instance you're allowed to give it to the Kohen, even though he's choshes at eating Chuma Bituma, because here, Hacha B'ma Askinam, Bichlecheres Hamukav Tamib Seal, where it's completely sealed and he can't access it, then he's trusted because there's no concern here at all. Mar said, wait a second, even though it's sealed, you're right, he can't touch it, but Valecho Shema Tasitenu Ishto Nida. There's a special din when it comes to a Nida, a woman who's a Nida, if she moves the object, even though she doesn't actually touch it, it will cause it to become Tame. So shouldn't we be concerned that this Kohen, who doesn't keep Halacha, his wife, maybe she doesn't have the Halacha either, when she's a Nida, might touch it and make it Tame. So we can't trust him, nor can we trust her.
Even so, if that sealed it, Anita is
moving. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Wow. Like a Thomas Hesse type of thing?
That's what it is. It's exactly what it is, yeah. Exactly.
Interesting. The implication is that she's also Ragilba, right? We said he's Libo Gaspa because he's Ragilba.
Mm-hmm.
We're saying that concept also applies to the wife.
Right.
Which makes sense
right. I mean, yeah. We assume her standards are lower than his, typically, but nowadays things would be opposite. Women's standards are usually higher than the men.
Yeah, usually.
But back then, when the women were not as learned, the men's standards, we assume, were higher than the women. So what's the case then? So Gemara said, I'll give you another answer. I'm Rabbi Yirmiyahu lo kasher kam beperesh huchsharu, kam beperesh lo huchsharu. The case where we said you cannot give it to the, you can't be osek with the tumah, with the peros, but that's when it was already huchsher, when it already came into contact with one of the liquids, that's when it's usher. The previous case was prior to coming to contact with the liquids, but prior to being huchsher, that's when it's permitted to help them out. Okay, the Gemara now says, Urminhu hamolchitin latochen kusi or latochen hamaretz, Hare elu bechazkason lemaiser uleshvis aval lo lutuma. So the Gemara asks, a person who goes brings his wheat to be ground by the kusi or an hamaret, we're not choshes she's going to switch it around. If I brought maiser or shmita fruits to be ground, we assume the same fruit I gave in with the same fruit I'm getting back. When it comes to tuma, we're choshes perhaps he touched it and he touched it, it might be asur. So what's the shaila here? How come before we said you're allowed to be mafkid next to these people who were not mafkid themselves? You could be mafkid to them, they could watch over, but here we say we don't trust them. They might switch things around, they might touch it. Not switch anything around, I'm saying not switch it, they might touch it. Sorry?
It is also Amaret.
It's also
Amaret is one of them, exactly. So the Gemara says, Hi, my Rumi, what's the Shaila? Labo Kimna Beperishal Hulcharu? We already gave the answer before.
Right.
That this case is talking about a situation, perhaps, where it wasn't Hochsher versus it is Hochsher.
We said Deraisa though before, no?
Deraisa.
The Tumah was Deraisa.
That's a previous answer. We rejected that answer.
Okay.
The distinction we made was if the Paris were Hochsher, then you can't be Osek in it. And you can't trust them. If the Paris were not Hochsher, then you can.
Right.
So in this case here, it must be a situation where it was Hochsher. And therefore, you can't trust them with regards to the Tumah. Where it says, with the Karli, my Karli. That was such an obvious answer. Why do you have to even ask a question? Which is, you're right, that question and answer was pretty obvious, but it was wanted to use as a springboard. We wanted to ask another question that was opening up the door for the second question. What was the question? So the real concern we wanted to go and talk about a different topic is, we're not concerned that the kusi or the amharitz is going to swap these fruit with some other fruit. If I gave him maiser, I gave him shvius, that I'm getting back, it's going to be the same status of maiser and shvius. Gemara says, is that really true? Are we not concerned that he's going to switch it? I'll bring you a brisa that says he should. He might swap it around. What's the brisa? One of the wonderful brisas and mishnas we have about the mother-in-law, son-in-law relationships. The Mishnah tells us, Urminu, Hanosin lechamoso. He gives to his mother-in-law, Meiser. He gives Meiser, and for her to, he wants her to cook the food for her. So she goes and cooks the food like a nice mother-in-law. Eshu no sin la, veshu no tel heimana, mipne shechashuda. Sorry. Hanosin lachamoso, maser, shu no sin la, veshu no tel heimana. So he gives her food to work on. He has to be maser, whatever he gives her and whatever she gives back to him. Because we're concerned that maybe she switched the food. He gave her this nice fresh grain, this wheat, and she took other wheat and made other food. So we are concerned of switching. So we don't know what she gave you. So everything that you're going to get from her, you should take meiser from. So why? So we see we are concerned that people do switch things. So the Gemara says, Mipnei Shechashuda, continuing on this Mishnah. I think it's a Mishnah, right? You know better than I. You learned Demai yet? So Mishnah Demai. We are concerned that she's going to switch it. So the explicit mishnah that we are concerned of chilupin. So Rashi explains why is she going to switch it? What's the mother law trying to accomplish here? So Rashi says shehi chashuda machlefes mahamiskalkel. She's concerned that he gave her bad produce, and he's going to blame her for ruining the food. She wants her son-in-law to really like her. And her not to embarrass her own daughter. So she switches it with better quality grain. And therefore, he has to take meiser whatever he receives from her. Okay, so we see there's a concern of switching things around. The Gemara says, no, hasam kadigatani taima. There's for the very reason that the Mishnah says, Amar Rebbe Yehuda, rotehi bitakanas bita ubosha michasna. She wants everything to be nice for her daughter, and she's concerned of being embarrassed by her son-in-law, so she wants everything to be nice, so therefore she switches it with better quality grains. That's why. But in general, we are not concerned that people are going to switch things around. It's a special thing by a mother-in-law and a son-in-law. The Gemara says, Ulam aloch hashinan, so you're telling me in general we're not concerned that people are going to switch things around? I'll show you a mission. The Mishnah tells us, Hatanan, the Mishnah that appears in Maseches Demai as well. Hanosin lepundokis maseshu nosin la, veshu no tehimana. A guy goes to a, Rashi explains it's a situation, lepundokis, Talmud hayoshev the rabbo, the student is sitting in front of his Rebbe, and they're both visiting, staying by a host who's a Amharit, and the host is baking for him some bread. So what's the halacha? So whatever, again, hanosin lepundakis, whatever he gives the baker to make, the host to make, maser eshu nosin la, veshu no teimana, whatever he gives to her, he has to take maaser, and whatever he takes back from her, he has to take maaser as well. Bipneshim mechalefes, we're concerned that the hostess is going to switch things around. So this is a general concern. And the Gemara says, no, Hasam Moriv Amra, she's going to be more heter to herself and say, Bar Beirav Lechel Chamima Vana Echel Krira. The people are going to eat, and Rashi explains, what does it mean? Bar Beirav Vechule Chamima Vakarira Lachar Shneyamim Osholshahi Machlifa. So, hot and cold, they're going to be eating hot food, I'm going to be eating cold food. So she wants fresh food as well, and therefore what?
I don't think it's a question. No, I think she's making a statement. I'd rather have the Talmidei Chachamim eating warm bread and good bread and me have the other one, right?
But still, how does that work? Meaning, so what are they giving? They gave him bread or grains?
Yeah, because what happens is that the grain gets dried after a while, and then when she's going to see it's dry, she's going to change it with hers.
Uh-huh. So she has better quality grains.
Right.
And she, not saying hot or cold, it's saying right. I want better food.
Right.
But, I got you. Okay, so I want them to have better food. So therefore, I'm serving them for my produce, which is fresh. So the Gemara then says, so that's also a specific case of the a Rebbe coming to visit the house. But in general, there's no concern. The Gemara says, there's no concern about Kati, La'alma, Lo Chashinim. You're saying globally there is no concern of switching things around? V'atani, the Brisa tells us, Eishes Chaver Tochanes Im Eishes Amharet. A wife of a chaver is allowed to grind with a wife of Amharit, bizman shi tamei, when the Eishes chaver herself is tamei. Avalo bizman shi tohor, when she's tahora, she's not allowed to. So Rashi explains, bizman shi tamei, last Rashi in the page, Eishes chaver dechaven de bimei tumei, ein regila liga betaros, lo chashin en shema titel, betiten latoch pia. So we're not concerned that she's going to eat from the food, since she's accustomed, when she's a nida, so she's accustomed to not putting food into her mouth, so we're not concerned she's going to violate in any isurim. But when she's the tahora, where she's accustomed to eating chulin, so then she's not allowed to, because we're concerned that her friend might be matami the food that they're touching, and then she might put it into her mouth.
Maybe just a meiser issue, maybe just a demai issue. I don't want her to be putting food in her mouth, that's not masuka.
Aha. Uh-huh. not issue of tumah, just stam taking a tumah tevel.
Tumah creates her deterrence from eating, but I don't know if that's the isser of her
eating. So I see they write, they say here, the Masifta explained, enam usarim, like you just said. Right, so you're saying, right, when she's tamei, she doesn't eat things. Right. She's careful what, right, she eats.
When she doesn't take anything from the Amaretz in general, so she won't take it in any case, not only in a case.
But when she's torn, she's accustomed to eating, so she might eat some of the food, right, and realize it wasn't mu'usar yet, and violate the isser of eating tevel. That's according to the Tanakhama. But then comes along Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, Omer af bizman she tamei lo titchon. Even when she's tamei, and even though she's accustomed to not eating while she's a nida, she still shouldn't grind with the Eishes Amaretz. Because she might give her to eat, So what's the concern if she gives her to eat? So the Gemara says, "No senesla." Top line, Rashi explains, "No senesla alma chashuda eishes amaret lignov mishal baila litein lechaverta," that she might take from her husband's food, and this is all his stuff, and give to her. So even though she's tamei, so how did that change things around here? Are we still concerned of?
We're not concerned that she's going to take, we're more concerned that she's going to give her.
I guess it'll be a lapse if she gives her. I'll eat at that
as
moment.
As opposed to her taking
She's
herself.
Used to not doing that.
Right.
But for someone to put it in front of her, then there's a greater chance she'll stumble.
Right. But what are we talking about? Why are we talking about Geneva here, though?
Oh, so the next line. The Gemara.
No, the Gemara is going to say, Hasha, Mignav, Ganev, Chalufa, Mechalfe.
That's the, isn't that the Kasha?
Yeah, but I'm concerned, why is it being viewed as Geneva?
Because it's her husband. Because
no, I said. So what happened before? Why did the concern wasn't an issue of Geneva? Why we weren't concerned beforehand of the friend, the Eishes Chaver, taking from the.
The concern of Michlof is that maybe someone sees something better than what they have, and they pull a little switcheroo.
Right.
Right. So the underlying thing is a person stealing, but stealing with a sort of a svara. Yeah, I'm giving them the same thing. I'm just taking theirs and giving them mine. But it's a concern that they're intentionally doing it. So here we're saying she'll have intentionally go a further step, which is steal outright from her husband.
Uh-huh.
Certainly she'll do this more soft stealing of just switching something with somebody.
Okay, fine. So we see according to this last opinion, though,
it's not accidental switching that we were talking about all along. It's intentional switching.
Okay. Which is, by the way, fascinating that we're viewing this as a gneva, the wife taken from the husband. But in the end of the day, the Gemara asks the question, so hashta mignav ganiv, chalufu lo mechalfe. So if according to this last opinion, according to Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, who says we're concerned that the wife might actually steal it, so then shouldn't there certainly be a concern of her doing this switcheroo, switching things around? So, and therefore it's a more global concern. So the Gemara answers, Amar Rav Yosef hasam nami mora vamra tora medisha kachil. So she's going to also justify to herself and say that when the shore plows the field, it's allowed to eat from the food on the ground. So here too, I guess she's working for her husband. She's baking something, so she's also allowed to take some of the food along the way. She's an ox, calling herself an ox, and she's eating along the way. That's permitted. That was her mora heter, her justification, and she doesn't think she's stealing, and she doesn't think she's switching around, and therefore there is no kasha in general. In general, we are not concerned that people switch things around. Only in those few examples that we brought.
This is a learned Eisha Samaritz over here. The concept of Losachsam Shorfidish. It's an Amar.